We are Brightside, home of the
home theater nerds. Welcome to the Bright Side Home Theater Podcast. The home theater podcast that's all about the experiences, the sights,
the sounds,
the scenes.
There it is. I got a point at you. There you go. Oh, how we doing this week, boys?
Doing good.
Good. Yep. Got through lots and lots of content this week. So much so I've got stuff for next week.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you. I was like, Jesus, Steve, slow down. I can't keep up with the graphics. And then it was like, I'm moving this to next week. I'm like, thank God.
Yeah, there was a lot. I don't know why necessarily, but somehow there was a lot. Can't explain why.
Yeah, that's okay. You have literally watched 2 weeks worth of content this week because we've already moved some stuff to next week.
You're already done. You don't have to watch anything for next week.
You haven't. Yeah, I know. But he will. So I'll be able to come back.
I've seen twice.
This week?
Yes.
Oh, jeez.
Yes. One of these I have seen twice this week. I haven't done in years. Seen one movie twice in a week.
And Star I loved Wars? It
both times. No. To you, that's what we call Wednesday.
Right.
But to me, it's a serious sort of, it's a really very unusual that I'd watch the same film twice in a week.
Yeah.
But we've got one tonight.
Nice. All right. Let's see. Before we get going with our home theater experiences here, let's kick it off right now. Let's get it going. All right. We just added a new segment to this segment, Honorable Mentions. Would you like to mention it, Steve? These are like less than home theater worthy, but they're good movies. So we all watched it.
Yeah, we did. And this is the Apple TV Plus, isn't it? Yeah. Apple TV Plus movie, the Michael J. Fox documentary Still, which hopefully lots of people have seen. I chucked it in. We were having a chat before we started. I put it in the notes because fully accepting it's not a home theater film, albeit bizarrely, it's in Dolby Vision, Dolby Atmos.
Right.
It's Apple TV. No idea why.
Right. Yeah.
So, but yeah, no.
Ted Lasso takes advantage of Atmos more than this does.
Well, you've got stadium things in that, haven't you? At least you've got.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, some sort of thing. But this, bizarrely. I'm not even sure the surround speakers were working during this, let alone could I hear anything in them.
And most of the visuals were in 4x3.
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of it was.
Yeah. I mean, although I think if you are noticing the surround speakers in this or the overhead speakers, you're not paying attention to what you're supposed to be.
Right.
Which is a very, very moving, very well told. And again, as I said, ultimately, I think very uplifting story about Michael J. Fox and how he is coping with a disease that hitherto anyway it's incurable. And I think the tagline is what happens when an incurable optimist meets an incurable disease.
Yeah.
I know I'm getting that wrong, but it's a lovely film. And what did you guys think of it?
Yeah, I thought it was excellent. It's one of those movies that you don't enjoy. Right. Like we say about other things. Like I can't say I really enjoyed it because it's a hard watch, but it was very good. Like I said, I immediately texted DJ and said you and Jen should watch this. Because, again, kid of the '80s growing up with Michael J. Fox and all of that. And not to spoil a whole lot, although I mean everybody knows his life story, but I really enjoyed the way they told the story through footage.
It's clever
for the most part, you know, whatever scene they needed to have, they found
he's filmed.
Scene. Yeah. They found something that he filmed that really corresponded well with what they were trying to tell in the scene. And I thought that was really interesting and well done. Like I said, really worth the 90 minutes or so. It's tight. It's not super long.
No.
And really worthwhile.
And so I have to say, I love the line when the director says to him, "We've been talking for weeks and you've never ever said that you're in pain." And he said, "It just never came up."
Right.
You know, just, what a legend.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I like to piggyback off of what John said with the, you know, the footage working itself. It's like playing out through his life. And I was really wondering, I'd love to know, did they write Family Ties to be like it was, the situation he was going through with Family Ties and Back to the Future? Right. And most of that I already knew from the Back to the Future, you know, the films that made us, they talked about that. A little bit I didn't know, so I won't give away what I didn't know. If you've already seen that one, there's a little nugget in there that I was like, oh, I didn't know it went that way. But him going back and forth between the two sets, and they, you know, that was the agreement. But then the footage that they used on Family Ties, and they're like, meh, meh, yeah, that's for me. All right, I gotta go. Yeah, you're working two jobs now, doing this and that. That was all in Family Ties. Now, did they write that in while he was doing it? Did they do it for him afterwards? Because I'm like, I'm sure it was a lot easier to act on, you know, like you're that person when you can lean in on the fact that I'm working two jobs and I'm doing this and I'm exhausted, you know. So that was really cool. And of course, you know, Brightside, the guy epitomizes, like Roseanne, right? Epitomizes it. And he's just, all he did was just like, almost like how he talked about it early in his life and the way he acted and the fun that he had. And he's like, don't pity me. You know, it's like, I got my good times in. And it was, and he'd tell you stuff like that. But then even now it's like, he's like stumbling around and he's like, yeah, I'm good. Boom. He falls down. They go, yeah, it happens.
Yeah. And the thing that he said, what is it? He said, you know, luckily gravity's real, but luckily I only fall from my height.
Yeah, he goes, it's real, even from my height.
Yeah.
Oh, when he fell and the lady on the street was said, nice to meet you. And he goes, yeah, and you met my feet too. And it's like, I mean, come on. You know, I mean, it's like, what are you going to do? You got to laugh. You got to laugh. So you stick around afterwards, I'll tell you a story myself about laughing about crap like that. But yeah, so that was, yeah, really, really good. So, yep. So not a home theater one at all, but, but definitely worth watching. So, where do you guys want to start? Let's start with a single. I think I have everybody's singles up here. John, you want to go with, let's hit this one.
Okay.
Oh,
so this is Train to Busan. This was the 4K disc, 4K UHD Dolby Atmos. So I bought this when I bought Raging Fire last week on the show because I had to buy two items to get 15% off. So,
but yeah, my kind of guy.
I had never seen this movie. I'd always heard great things about it, but I had never seen it. It is fantastic. The quality of the disc, first of all, is incredible. Super sharp visuals. The HDR is fantastic. The sound is amazing. There's some scenes with it takes place on a train, spoilers. But there's some scenes on the train where the train's
pulling. Let me guess where it's going.
Yeah.
So we know the beginning, we know the ending.
We know the end, yeah.
To hell.
There's some scenes with the train on the tracks and it rumbles like hard. Like it's really, really good. And then a really well-told story. Like, it's a zombie movie, so we've seen a bunch of zombie movies, and they're all kind of the same, and you always kind of wonder, what's this going to bring that's a little different? These are not your Walking Dead zombies, where they just kind of lumber. They're quick, and they seem fairly intelligent just in some cases, and they're very menacing, as opposed to, like, I feel like if I just walk fast in The Walking Dead, I'll be fine because I can just get away from them. but these guys are running towards the train and they're like gaining ground. You know, they're fast.
Yeah. So, they're more World War Z or 28 Days Later zombies than
exactly
anything. I mean, I'm not even sure we can call them zombies. Aren't they? I think they're the infected, aren't they?
The infected, right?
Yeah, but still, yeah.
But yeah, it really, really great movie. And again, DJ, I know you're not, the zombie genre is not your thing. And
right.
but you would enjoy this movie.
I liked Zombieland, both of them. I've liked zombie movies, yeah.
But this is because it's well told. There's good character development, you know, for 2 hours, you know, because it's a movie, it's not a show. But you know, you get invested in a bunch of characters, yeah, not super uplifting at the end of the day.
Very few bright side zombie movies,
right? Really, super glad that I watched this. I'd been meaning to get to it for a while, and I was just going to stream it, and I'm really glad that I didn't. Because the disc is fantastic. You know, really, really good.
But touching on the zombie genre, and did you hear today's Takeover Tuesday with VJ?
About 30, 35 minutes of it. I haven't gotten too far into it.
He mentions in the, like, we talked about horror movies. He mentioned horror, and he goes, DJ, he goes, I know you don't like horror movies. And I just start cracking up. And I was like, and now hearing you say this, and I mentioned something to him at that, you know, I went off of that. I'm like, I do like horror movies, just not as much as Steve likes horror movies. I go, I don't think anybody likes them as much as Steve does. But what I found is, like, having you guys on here and talking to more and more people, it's like, for the guy that's supposed to be, you know, literally founded Brightside, who's supposed to be Brightside, I'm the guy that doesn't like anything, apparently, because it's like, I don't like zombie movies. I don't like horror movies. John knows this. I don't like fantasy movies. It's like, there's all these things I don't like, but I do like all of them, just not like to the extent, to be fair, like sci-fi. It's like, there's a lot of sci-fis I don't like, but then I do like, you know, so it's just funny when you get exposed like that. Everybody's like, you don't love it as much as I do. Oh, okay.
Well, it's not even that. I mean, you've made mention of it yourself more than once that you don't really like zombies.
I don't seek them out. Right. I don't seek them out, but I do. It's not automatic. Right. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, a Marvel movie is automatic. I got to see it. But you know? I'm not. I got to be like, oh, is it a good one? Okay. Yeah. Let me get, you know. But then I'll go see him. I just, because those are, isn't a zombie movie kind of just an offshoot of a horror? It's basically, it's a genre, a subgenre of horror.
Yeah, it can be both. But there are subgenres within that subgenre. I mean, you know, and John's mentioned it as well.
Right.
The fast zombie and the shuffling zombie are two very different genres. And they don't mix. I can't think of a film where you've got both in one movie. You seem to have one or the other.
What was the one, and you redid your room, the one on Netflix that we did, that was
well, they had a, like, they did have
Snyder,
like a,
Snyder did it,
yeah, and it was the, Lord of the they Death. Had they had the
in like when a he class went to Vegas system
almost, you know,
yeah.
Oh, I mean, Army of had, the Dead Army of
yeah,
the Dead
Army yeah. of the Dead
Fantastic. Where you actually had like leaders that were intelligent, and then you had kind of the soldier zombies, and then you did have like the droning zombies. So which was the only zombie I've ever seen that had anything like that.
See,
especially,
and for a guy that doesn't like zombie movies, for me to be able to recall something like that, I don't know, Steve. Well, your zombie cred's going down.
You're assuming those are zombies. Some of those are robots. Some of them are from the future. Yeah, very clearly,
it's got still a zombie movie.
What it is a very, very, very good movie.
It is.
And I would absolutely love to have a physical copy of that. What I would not give for a copy of that. I love that film. I've seen that could be next to Extraction. That could be the Netflix movie I've watched the most. I absolutely love that film. But back to Train to Busan briefly. I agree, John, completely. The image quality on it is exceptionally good. Right from the opening shot of a sort of mannequin type thing, where you can see every little mark and every little paint fleck and everything else on it. And it's like that throughout. It's one of those movies when I'm trying to take stills for Twitter, it's like, well, I could just pick one. I haven't got to wait for a scene. It could just take a photo. Oh, there it is. Right. You know, it's a beautiful looking disc.
Yeah.
The audio is great, especially as it builds towards the climax at the end where there are, you know, explosions and that sort of stuff as well. They rumble beautifully. It's very, very good. Paul, just to deal with Paul briefly, Paul said in the so Paul says in the chat that Train to Busan's his favorite movie since Snyder's Dawn of the Dead. I mean, that's also very good, and I watched that on 4K recently as well. He says, take my advice, don't watch the sequel. So the sequel is Train to Busan presents Peninsula, which I've also got in 4K. And it's right to say that is not a patch on the first one, but it's still okay. I still quite enjoyed it. So, yeah. John, if you can find that one relatively cheaply, I would still give it a go.
Because I've never even heard of that.
Yeah, it's on 4K disc. It's been out a while. Okay. But there are some odd decisions in it, but it's still worth seeing, but it's not as good as the first one.
Right.
So yeah, it's very, very nice. It's a great movie. This one, this was a great choice of yours to visit this. And yeah, I think you would, Deej. I think it's worth seeing because we talk about home theater experiences. There are few better than that in terms of the image and sound. They're very, very good indeed.
All right. Yeah. Let's try. Yeah,
Steven, you should crack the disc.
don't crack it.
Well,
don't crack it. Open it and then
haven't cracked it yet.
Yeah. All right, let's do it. Let's see. I'm gonna try something we haven't done before here.
Uh oh.
All right, let's see. We're on Kaleidoscape here.
Ooh.
TRAI train to BUS.
Yeah.
AN. Yeah.
AN. All right, there it is.
That's the one. DTSX, is it not in 4K?
Not in 4K. It's in HD with DTSX.
Really?
Yay or nay?
Get the disc.
Groove had it for $11.99, man.
Oh, wow. Do that.
Is it in DTSX?
It's in Dolby Atmos.
Dolby Atmos in 4K HDR.
Boys.
He's gonna get both.
I gotta get both of them.
Well, that's on
your password, Deej. What's your password? Yeah. I'll just grab the.
There you go. I gotta get. You're telling me one is in HD with DTSX, and the other is in 8 is in 4K with Dolby.
You, yeah.
Oh my god! Like, how do I not? And then I'll sync them up, and that way I can watch in HD with DTSX, and so there you go. Look at that. All right. Woohoo. Live on air purchases. I'll go Amazon. I'll have the other one. The other one won't be here as soon as this one is.
No, but it's still probably tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll talk about this again next week. Damn it.
Fit it in, Deej. I've got quite a bit for next week.
John and I aren't going to be on the show next week.
Right. Yeah, that's it. I'll be going for hours.
All right. What did you want to do? What do you want to do next?
Dealer's choice, as always, Deej. Spin the wheel.
Oh, you know what? Let's get this out of the way.
I think my other two you both have as well.
Yeah, yeah. So. Let's get this out of the way first. I'm going to take this one. Off the Max. Dropped today.
It did.
Luckily for me, I did. I had my fingers crossed on this for a long time. Ever since, how long ago did the first half of season one drop, John? Like 6 months ago?
It was gone for 4 months, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, but now with HBO Max turning into Max, you can get Titans in 4K with 4K HDR with Atmos. So everything went over to Max now. It's all called Max. And then you could see this is the homepage for it. That's why I put it up there on YouTube. And I just clicked on series and Titans actually came up. But you can go to home and it had Shazam up there. Movies, HBO has its own column. And then new and notable. But this is the new Max app. Got it this morning. There were some issues. Like when I first downloaded it, didn't work. I couldn't sign in. It wouldn't do anything.
I had no problems this morning.
Yeah. I was probably 6 o'clock this morning and I think everybody was doing it. And it just kept saying, oops, try again. Oops, something went wrong. Try again.
8 a.m. my time. I got mine. So.
Yeah, so that would have been, yeah, and I had mine by then, too. So about a half hour later, I had it up
and running.
See,
I didn't even have to log into it. It just automatically recognized me. And
you were probably already logged in my upstairs bedroom. I was already logged into HBO Max.
Well, yeah, I'm always logged into that.
Right, and it automatically went through. When I came down to try the TV downstairs, it wasn't already up on my Apple TV. So when I went to open it, it was like, all right, sign in. And I did the sign in, the same in the theater. But yeah, it took about a half hour of, you know, oops. And that was in the bedroom where it was already signed in. But then when I went to, I was lucky. I click on Titans. I'm like, take a look. And I've watched seasons one and two and now and three. And what's nice is what's nice, but weird. So season four is in 4K with Dolby Vision and Dolby Atmos. So is season three, but seasons one and two aren't.
No.
And
one was DC Universe.
One and two were DC Universe, weren't they?
I thought just one, but maybe the first two were.
Because I thought that was what the delineation was. But when we had them on DC Universe, one and two were in 4K with Atmos.
Right.
And then when we went over to HBO for season three, we lost that.
Yeah.
Which was ironic because DC Universe was supposedly the lesser of the streamers. Yeah. Didn't have as many followers, but you could get everything. So they do have it. Seasons one and two are in 4K and Atmos somewhere in somebody's files.
Odd. Yeah.
But they didn't, at least not day one, but I only
update over time.
Yeah, exactly. So, hopefully, but season four, I watched the first episode, looks great. Sounds great. But yeah. Pretty cool. And I started popping around Max and checking out to see if there was any other that weren't previously in 4K. And I really couldn't find anything. A lot of stuff was still HD, but maybe like Wonder Woman. I'm not sure if that was like, it seems like the entire DC EU is in 4K and Atmos now.
Nice.
But I'm not really sure if, I didn't really have a lot of time to go through and check all their titles, but yeah, so.
Cool. Yeah. I'm not sure if I'm going to pay for the upgrade, to be honest with you, because it's streaming. So,
right.
Because I get HBO Max or Max free through AT&T.
Right.
Because I have their internet. And so
and that gives you your middle one, right?
It gives me the middle one.
A listener said the same thing.
Gives me the middle one.
And I think it was Omar, actually.
Yeah. And I do pay for the 4K for Netflix and things like that. But where I'm getting this service basically for free, I don't know if because it's streaming. In the 4K streaming, it's still just streaming. So
right.
I don't think I'm going to bother with it until such a time that AT&T stops giving it to me for free, I guess.
Well, even that, you could probably like say they come out with a new Game of Thrones series or House of the Dragon season two. Upgrade it for that amount of time and then drop back down.
Well, you know? But like that was in 4K anyways, even on the middle plan.
I bet you it won't be now though.
Might not be.
That's what I think they're doing now. It's like, although you should check, see if you're getting like, cause
same
I know
thing. I'm just going to buy it. Cause I'm going to buy that disc anyways. So I'll just watch it streaming in whatever quality they have. And then I'll buy the disc and watch it again properly.
Yeah. Anyways. That's a good point.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I upgraded. I wanted to see what it was like. And for a show like Titans, you know,
I said, if I ever have to go to where I'm paying for it, I'll definitely get the 4K version. But
right. Oh, yeah, that's right. You're already getting it free anyway.
But like I said, I'm getting it free, so I'm not going
to
bother.
Yeah, that is a big jump. Yeah. Free to $20. That's exactly. A pretty big jump.
Right.
So, all right. We'll take that down. Steve, what did you have a single that we haven't seen that you know of?
Nice Guys.
Oh, yeah. Let me find that. Nice Guys. There it is.
Yeah.
All right. Let me pull that. I'm waiting for it's uploading. There we go. Processing.
Whole music playing.
Boom. There you go.
Okay. Yeah. So this is The Nice Guys, as it turns out. The reason I watched it this week is this is the 7th anniversary of the theatrical release of the movie. And so I watched this on Blu-ray with DTS Master Audio 5.1, obviously upmixed to Neural X. Now, have you guys seen this?
No.
I haven't. Where are you, Deej?
Yeah, this is a while ago.
Seven years.
Yeah. No. I'm also doing stuff in the background here. Didn't hear you say that. All I heard was, did you watch this, Deej? yeah, I loved it. The dragons, the way they come out and decimate the city. Sorry. Yes. Anyways, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. So that's okay. So this is obviously the Russell Crowe, Ryan Gosling, Shane Black directed 70s set kind of comedy, action, adventures, well, adventure, thriller, perhaps.
Russell Crowe way out of shape.
Yeah, but deliberately.
That was the first time, wasn't it?
Yeah, he put on weight for that. Well, don't forget, he put on weight for Inside Man. Don't forget.
Right. Back in the day. Right, too.
So, not Inside Man, sorry, The Insider.
I know what you meant.
Playing Jake Weigand. Yeah. So he put on weight for that. But for this, he did as well. He was supposed to be a sort of, apparently, he knew that he was supposed to be a sort of basically a muscle for hire, and thought, well, someone like that should be built like a sort of a bruiser. And so he put on a lot of weight for it. Interestingly, I've seen this film 3 times now. This was the 3rd time I watched it. And the first couple of times I didn't quite gel with it. I wanted to enjoy it more than I did. And I don't know why that is, because I really like Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, which is obviously Shane Black's similar kind of movie that was done before this. And yet I never quite got on with it. And yet this time I really, really enjoyed it. I something clicked. I don't know what it was, and it was great from start to finish. So I was really, really impressed with the film. I think it's great. If you haven't seen it, John, it's worth seeing.
Yeah.
You know, have you seen Kiss Kiss Bang Bang with Robert Downey Jr. and Val Kilmer? So this is one that's a definite recommendation then. It's dirt cheap now as well. So if you're buying during the show, there's one to stick on your list straight away.
I've always been aware of it. I just have never seen it.
Well, it is very funny, and it's really well done, and it's a great movie. So that's that. In terms of the theater side of it, again, it's a comedy, so I didn't really expect much. And it's been a while since I've seen it, and I don't think I've seen it in Cinema George. So, which again might explain why I was more engaged this time. But actually, I have to say, I think the home theater experience is pretty good for a comedy. The image quality is decent for 1080p. It's sharp. It's been manipulated deliberately because it's supposed to be set in 1977. When we were all kids, you know.
Right.
Mm. And so the image quality has definitely been manipulated. It's been faded at certain times, and it's been changed. And that comes across really well. The detail levels are good. And also the audio is surprisingly decent as well. There are party sequences and stuff, so you've got lots of noises, and you can't quite hear conversations, as it were, Deej, as we did with Pulp Fiction, but you can you can certainly hear people around you, and it, you know, you can feel that. And when the gunshots go off, and there are shooting, there are car crashes, which have a heft to them. This is actually pretty damn good as far as Blu-rays go. I was pleased with this. I'm very, very pleasantly surprised. Have you seen it recently then, Deej, or not?
Did you say you watched it for a while? I think I saw it in the theater, and that was it, maybe.
Worth a revisit, guys.
It is. I really enjoyed it. Especially talking to VJ, we talked a little bit about going to the theaters and stuff and seeing comedies, and not really our theaters can't duplicate what we were talking about, but it did make me think, like, you know what, I should really, you know, we should I should start watching a little bit more comedies in there. Because usually I save those for upstairs, because like you said, it's like, I mean, a laugh's a laugh. Right.
Yeah,
But if you can, you know, kick back and enjoy the surrounds and everything and be laughing, what's wrong with that?
Well, if you think with Midnight Run a couple of weeks back and then this one as well, you know, these are movies that translate very well to the big screen. So watching them in the theater room is still worth doing.
Yeah.
I was really impressed with this. Really, really had a great time with it. More than I had expected. I'd only put it on as a random watch when I saw on Twitter it was 7 years old. And I thought, you know, it's been a while. But I had a great time with it, really enjoyed it. Definitely recommend it. And those two, I mean, Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling are, you know, obviously had an absolute blast making this. And that comes across on screen. And with Shane Black's dialogue, which is second to none, apart from when he's making a Predator film. Other than that, his dialogue's really good. This is definitely in his wheelhouse. So, yeah, highly recommend this one. It's really good. I think we have to say hi to Jack Lee in the Jack Lee, isn't it? Sorry, Jack Lee he's going again. Whilst DJ's doing his shopping, Jack, just thought I'd say hi. Well, hope the concrete delivery thing's going okay.
Well, you had me at hello with rated R for violence, sexuality, nudity, and in HDR.
Oh, there you go.
Click.
Oh, look at that. You get it in 4K HDR.
I know.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
All right.
For $25, you're gonna be bankrupt by the end of this show, DJ. Yeah. Is this why we're only keeping it to 2 hours? Is this so you spend all the money?
Touching. I gotta come up with a new sounder for that. Yeah, but everything you just said, I was like, yeah, it sounds great.
It is good. It's really good. It's really good.
The only other one, and I did like this too, and this is what's dangerous about this, is this one. That one, I love that movie too. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw it not that long ago.
Office actually. Pop.
Yeah. It is good. I saw it on Amazon actually, in the front room. I didn't see it in the cinema room.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was chuckling throughout.
It is funny. Yeah.
So as much as you allegedly don't like horrors, you do love everything with Mark Wahlberg in it. So, you know, it all balances out.
Not true.
Have you seen The Happening?
What's that?
The M. Night Shyamalan film, The Happening.
I haven't seen that.
The Evil Wind.
Yeah. I haven't seen that one. Okay. And I love M. Night movies, too.
Yeah.
Wahlberg movie I'm not a fan of.
John, do you know what it is?
I don't know. I mean, I'm curious.
Do you know what? No, I don't know. Go on. There's so many.
I'm not telling you. I'm not,
oh, come on. Don't tease.
You'll have to guess. I think I've mentioned it before. I know I've told people after show.
Tell you what, Deej, right. If someone in the chat guesses it, will you confirm it?
Of course. I'm not going to deny
it. In the
it.
Chat.
There you go.
Quick, on to IMDb.
Heard that, chat. Please. Yep, just start rolling them off.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
We'll I can only think it. Of a couple off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Is it an old one or a new one?
Fairly new. It's not super old, put it that way. The Happening. Loved Boogie Nights. Absolutely love Boogie Nights.
We also have Transformers.
Pain and Game was funny.
Yes.
I like Transformers. Those aren't my favorite ones, but those aren't movies that I don't like. Now Tommy, here, it's
Tommy
a
Wanted with Denzel Washington. Departed, he was really good in that. The Departed was great.
Yeah.
Departed
is great. Father Stew.
Let's move on to something else.
We'll sorry, be for 2 hours. Sorry, I sidetracked this.
No. It's great. It's interaction. People like Pain and Game. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. It's like,
I'm waiting for someone to just copy and paste all of IMDb into the into the chat.
Yeah, exactly. that ain't gonna work. All right, let's you want to get to there we go.
Ooh, yeah,
we've all seen this.
Yep,
we've all gone through the image Steve submitted is the poster.
Well, yeah, because it was from Netflix. And the Netflix thing was moving, and it was rubbish. So I thought, well, that's the best I can do.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. And, we all have it 1080p you had a 1080p with just 5.1. John and I had DTS Master Audio because you had the disc. So we each had a stream, a disc, and the Kaleidoscape. So there you go. Take a drink.
Triple crown. Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, I forgot to load up my alcohol before the
show. Are you going to do when I buy something?
I know.
Through the bottle.
Yeah, exactly.
So who's going first?
Whoever wants. It's John's turn around, so why don't you lead it off, buddy?
Well, all right. Yeah, so I obviously had the Blu-ray disc, 1080p. This was a movie that I had seen before, but not for quite a long time. And I had really forgotten a lot about, but I didn't remember thinking a whole lot of it the first time around, but I quite enjoyed it this time around. Now, again, I am on a huge martial arts kick right now, so...
kick.
Yeah. Anything... See what I did there?
I was trying to let it go.
But, you know, anything in that vein, is kind of scoring high with me right now. But I'd forgotten all about Morgan Freeman being in this. I didn't really remember anything about this movie at all except for the collar. I really had forgotten about it, which is why I thought that I must not have liked it all that much because I couldn't remember.
He's doing his best Stevie Wonder.
But yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a good story. I thought it was really great martial art. You know, it's Jet Li, so I thought there was some really good fight sequences here. I thought the sound was great. I mean, it's upmixed to Neural X, so pseudo Atmos, and you know, I thought there was great sound here. I mean, I don't know if the picture is reference quality or anything, but it was fine. You know, I mean, it's pretty good, but not a little grainy, I thought, but it was fine. You know, and yeah, really enjoyed it. So I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, Steve.
Right. Well, I had the DVD of this, which I'd imported from the States, because it was also known as Danny the Dog, which I think is just sounds like a children's film.
Yeah.
So it's Unleashed, aka Danny the Dog. And I saw this on DVD, and I remember thinking it was pretty good. But the problem that I've always had with this is Bob Hoskins, who isn't so much chewing the scenery as kind of, you know, eating the entire neighborhood. So it's like he's walked into this on a Monday, and they've said, right, it's 9 a.m. And he said, right, what do you want me to do? And they've said, right, well, we're starting at 10. Just read that, would you? And just shout it if you could. Personally, I think he's dreadful in this. And he goes away in the middle. He's there in the beginning and he's there at the end. And those are the bits that I really struggle with. The bit in the middle is a bit more interesting, because then it becomes quite a family about a broken family, and it becomes a bit of a drama. And, you know, and actually that's more interesting than this, you know, I'm going to turn up and shout for the rest of the film. Danny, oh God, drives me crazy. So I had problems with that. But the fight sequences are what makes this film. The fights are particularly good. And interestingly, it's directed by Louis Leterrier, who, of course, went on to do, obviously, The Incredible Hulk, but also the Transporter movies and, of course, the Fast X, which is playing in theaters now. But not to me, because I'm not seeing that. But the fight sequences, I think, are really well shot and really well done. And interestingly, Deej, and I'll be curious to see what you think about it compared to the fight sequences in The One, which was directed by James Wong, so it's very different. I think they're much better staged in this. I think the fights, you know, the camera's pulled back, longer takes, everything looks, it's really clear to see what's going on with it. And so that's what makes this film entertaining for me. I think the fights are really well done. The Netflix stream that I watched, because I never replaced my DVD, and I did look for the Blu-ray. When I saw you'd seen it, I thought, oh, let me see, because I can get it within a day.
Right.
And it was really expensive for what it was. And I figured I'm only going to watch this probably once more. Yeah, yeah. You're talking about £18-19. So that'd be about $23-24, you know, give or take. And that's quite a lot for an old film.
Blu-ray. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Or you get it with Fearless, which I've already got. So it's kind of like, well, I don't need two copies of that. As much as I love the film. So I watched it on Netflix. The stream was decent, actually. It's pretty solid, looked okay. Again, I wouldn't say the stream was that grainy. And it was easy to watch, a little bit of Black Crush. But the 5.1 sound was decent, you know, fairly hefty when it needed to be. Nothing you're going to, again, you're not going to call someone in from another room and go, check this out. But, or unless it's so loud, they can't help it. But you're certainly not going to bring someone in and go, oh, you must see this. At least not via Netflix. But it was solid enough. I'm glad I revisited it, but I won't be buying it. Not anytime soon anyway. So that was my view. Now, what did you think of the Kaleidoscape one, Deej?
I really liked it. I thought, like, the opening scene, I was like, that was like push play demo worthy. The way even the credits, like just before it started, this is one of those movies like where with the Kaleidoscape, your HDMI handshake can sometimes you'll miss the first 2 or 3 seconds of whatever happens, or maybe 4 seconds. And usually it's just a credit of something coming up. But this was one of the ones where I was like, oh, let me back that up. I don't want to miss anything. And there was a lot of like zoom, zoom, zoom stuff's going on with just words. Right. But I thought that the audio on it was very engaging. At the 57 minute mark, you had it was a thunder going on, and that thunder in this had really nice, crisp thunder. Like you could hear like the clap and then the roll after it, which was, I thought, really good. And it was overhead. Obviously, like John said, we upmix everything anyways, but it, and that really, I love getting into that idea, the question that when we're up mixing it, we really are getting what some of these older movies that are coming out that are saying it's in an Atmos or a DTSX movie. It's just been up mixed on their end because our systems we're telling our receiver or our processors, process this like an object base. And it does, that's what it's meant to do. So, it's so close that it's really hard to tell. Because when you have thunder rolling overhead, that's really good processing going on right there, and it's almost indistinguishable. I think that part is indistinguishable from a real object, a full object based audio track. It's in the object based one. Maybe it's because it's newer, so we're getting more dynamics. And maybe a more creative use of the track, you know. But other than that, it's like when you like this here, it was great. It was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And like I said, just if you got the old Blu-ray sitting around, throw it in and push play. And if you haven't watched it in a while, you're going to be like, oh, you know. And when I say in a while, like you've upgraded your system over the last 4 or 5 years, you'd be like, throw this in. You'll be like, wow, it didn't sound like this 6 years ago. And that's what's fun about stuff like this. It's like your system can rejuvenate movies like this. Getting into the story, it's like, yeah, I mean, Morgan Freeman, I thought was hysterical. I love his character in this, right? He's got all the heart in the world, but he's almost like, I don't want to say he's the comic relief, but he kind of is, right? He's just like, oh, you know, he laughs at stuff. He doesn't, you know, it's just the situation going on there. But it is, like you said, a family movie, and not a family movie that you see. It's a movie about family. Don't take the wife and kids, especially the unrated version that I think we all took in. I don't know. Actually, Steve, you didn't get the unrated, did you?
No, I don't. I did. He didn't say that on Netflix, so I don't know is the honest answer. But I've seen the unrated one because the DVD was unrated. So I have seen it. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, noted.
Do you know who it was written by the way?
Yeah. Your buddy there. You're one of your favorites.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to say anything. I wasn't going to. I saw that. And I was like, I had mentioned to you once before. And I don't know. You woke up on the wrong side of the bed that day. But yeah, it's a good movie.
I feel like I'm missing out. To look it up.
We'll talk later.
I'm looking it up.
If the listeners know, they can say what they want to say. But I'm leaving that where it may.
There were two or three movies like this around about that time. You had there was Romeo Must Die, which is another one that Jet Li did with Aaliyah. And then there was there were a few around that time, and similarly written and directed by similar people. So, yeah, there are a number of them still out there.
Yep. So, all right. Let's see. What do we want to do? So that one was for John. What do we want? Let's do. John saw that. Did you see this one? Well, you don't have a graphic for it. Let's do this one.
Oh.
And that's your graphic.
Yep. Because it's a screener, because so I couldn't.
You got it as a screener. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. And where's my graphic? And I have it on Kaleidoscape in 4K with Atmos.
Mm.
So take a drink. Okay. But why don't you start with your screener and this movie? And I told my in-laws, we're sitting at my father-in-law's 75th birthday on Sunday. Mm. And I was like, they asked what movies, and I looked at him. I'm like, Dad, you gotta see Sisu. And he's like, really? And then my mother-in-law texted me today, what was that movie you were talking about? And I was like, it's more meant for Dad, but she likes them too, and she likes to watch the movies with them. So I was like, there you go.
Like, did they come around to yours to watch it then?
No, they watch at their house, and
have they got a Kaleidoscape?
No. No, but they can rent it. And I told them that they could rent a premium rental if they wanted to. So, but yeah, no, they don't have a Kaleidoscape.
No. All right. So I was going to say, I'm going to choose these words very carefully, John, because you need to see this film.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to, because for me, this is the second best time I've had in my theater room this year with a new release. Next to Cocaine Bear, this
goes
right next to it.
Okay? Yeah.
This
similar genre.
Right? Absolutely. And Brock's just said in the chat, you know, Sisu, don't expect 25% realism, but good and stable. This is not realistic.
Exactly.
Not,
that's great.
This is not supposed to be. This is a cartoon in form. So I absolutely love this. And I've seen it twice this week because I could not wait. I had to see it again.
Oh my God, that's the one you saw twice?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, because you saw it before the show last week.
Yeah, I'd seen it, exactly.
So right, you'd already seen it.
Ahead of myself. Yeah, I saw it on the morning of the last Tuesday morning.
Right, and I'd seen Super Mario Brothers.
Yes.
I'm glad I did.
So I just loved it. I mean, this I saw a trailer back in February, which blew my mind. And immediately told everybody that I knew about it. And that night that I went to that hi-fi show that we've talked about in the past, there were a number of people there, including industry types who were like, and I just seen the trailer that day. And I was just like, I've just seen this trailer called Sisu. And they're like, what's that? And I told them and they were like, we're watching that straight away. There's real buzz about this. And it's a Finnish movie. It's in the English language. And it's about a guy who's an old chap who encounters some Nazis whilst he's on his way somewhere. And
he's a Finnish soldier.
He is, yes. And he's on his way. So, I mean, it's in the trailer. He finds gold. He's on his way to cash in his chips. And then he encounters some, well, I think in a film like this, you've just got to call them Nazis. I don't think you can call them Nazis. Because all the way through this, I'm just thinking Inglourious Bastards. And I'm thinking, is it Hugo Stiglitz in that? Family show, I don't think this is too bad. Who the line that I was going around in my head the whole time I was watching this was, say goodbye to your Nazi balls. And that just was going round and round in my head as I was watching this. It is fantastic. The film's great. And even better the second time, because there is some subtlety in this over-the-top mad movie. there is some to there. I genuinely, whether it's improvised, I don't know.
Right.
I'm not giving any of it away, but there's more to this bizarrely, that I noticed second time round. And when I've seen this 400 times, which I suspect I will, probably by next week, then then there's even more there. But what I put out on Twitter is this is a dark man. Well, it's hilarious though. It's clearly
over the top. That's what I think is dark.
Yeah. Oh, but this is what I said on Twitter. This is what I think. This gives us an idea of what it would be like if Michael Myers or Jason Voorhees joined the army and were the good guys.
Right.
That is kind of gives you some idea as to what this is like.
Right.
It's fantastic. And I can't recommend it highly enough. Everybody listening, everybody watching, when you can, see this immediately because it's very, very good indeed.
If you're a fan of the John Wick movies and it's parallel to that because he has a mission he has a task at hand and nothing will get in his way. And it's as believable as John Wick. Right. And that's basically what it is. It's two completely different stories, but you know what I'm saying? Like most of John Wick, you're like, that would never happen. I literally thought they were going to use the term, like, what is it? Baba Yaga. What was the Baba Yaga?
Baba Yaga.
Baba Yaga.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to say that. And I was like, that would have been fun if they had actually said that. Cause it would have been like making a joke, but there is something similar to that in here. Did you have more to say before I go on?
Yeah, sorry, DJ. I was going to then. I mean, I can't really talk about the home cinema side of it, other than to say, even the screener, which is in only 1080p, looked fantastic. And you know, I mean, and I can't normally say that when I'm looking at these screeners, but the detail levels in it, the cinematography on it, this should be, and I'm hoping you're going to say to me in a minute, is, you know, 4K heaven. Because it's been shot beautifully.
Yeah.
And also, even again with 5.1 sound, you know, there are bits with planes going over the top, which were just made for, you know, object-based audio. And you know, there are some explosions. You've got planes generally. And so this should sound incredible as well. So tell me, Deej, am I right?
Yeah. It's picture wise, I could say, like, I had typically on a movie like this that before I get to that, before we get off of your image here, did you notice, and you said subtleties, did you notice his hat in this image? It looks like it's camel. It looks like it's black and white camouflage, and it's actually images from the movie.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. And it was like, I didn't notice that at first, but
it looks to me like a knife blade.
Yeah, it's a knife against his forehead.
Yeah, it's a knife.
Oh, even that. I thought he was just wearing like a jungle hat. Yeah, no, that's why I saw it.
Well, I did thought it was a camo. But the more I looked at it, it's a knife.
Yeah, you're right. It's the even better. So I saw it as my dad has one of those from Vietnam, the jungle hats.
Yep.
And I thought it in camo, like black and white camo. And then you have the gold coming off it. But you're right. I didn't even see the knife blade.
I thought you were talking about the hat of the SS soldier there. That's what I thought you were talking about.
No.
I knew that was a blade, but yeah.
Right. I thought it was a hat. See, I even saw it differently, but I love when they do stuff like that.
Yeah. It's great.
All right. Anyways, so the 4K, HDR, and Atmos, when I talk about stuff like this, I typically don't want to ruin anything. So I talk about opening stuff. And you've already mentioned two of them. And you're like, the way it was shot and the fields. And I use fields in quotes because it's kind of like foliage over these big, expansive areas, the way they shot this. And I've been in fields like this, but it's like, it's not like a fields of grain or anything like that. It's very rolling and like weedy and stuff, but there's a lot of different colors. And it does. It looks fantastic. There's the sky setting the mood. But yes, throughout this movie, the detail is sometimes you don't want it, but you're going to get it.
Oh, yeah.
There's the I guess it's fair to say, because it's literally in Glorious Carnage from Film School Rejects. So the carnage in this is so detailed. It is so gross in the 4K. It just looks so good. And it's
dark.
It comes at no, but I mean, as somebody that grew up reading Fangoria and trying to duplicate this stuff, and the stuff that they had to do back then, was they could get away with so much more that you can't get away with now. And it does look really, really good. There's some carnage that hits you and you have no idea it's coming. Right. And you're just like, is it fair to say this entire movie is a shell game? You're thinking one thing and then something else happens and you're like, they're setting you up for what you would normally see in a movie. And the next thing you know, you're like, what? And that's where the sound comes in, because you'll be like, oh, okay, something. And then bang, or boom, or this or that. It's just really good. But the flyover that you mentioned, the early one, there's actually a few of them in the movie, but there was one very early on that I wrote down. I'm like, oh man, it is. It's awesome. And so, like, it's very early on in the movie. He's left the war and he's in the field mining for gold, you know. And then, but then to show you where the war is, here come the planes and it's just flying over. And you're like, your room is just whoosh, just like as they go over. And it's the old, you know, World War II bombers just low flying, going by, and you're just, it's an awesome scene. So
can I just ask you, because I was wondering when I was watching it again, first time and second time, Deej, how good does the 50 cal sound?
Good. Not the best 50 cal I've ever heard, but it does sound really good. And this is, and again, having seen the 50 cal in real life, having heard it, knowing what it can really do, this is where your 25% accuracy is.
Yeah,
but the sound of it is good. It's the whole movie is like that. And that's the other thing. It's like, I don't think anybody's going to be disappointed at the end of this movie for sound or picture. You're just going to be like, holy crap. It's just like, it's awesome. So I don't think it's worth paying the $20 though for
I was about to say, because I didn't realize you could rent it, because you can't rent it here. It's not even in cinemas until next week here. So you can't rent it here yet. But I would have said, had I known that, I would have said to John, pay the $20.
No, yeah. No. I'd say just wait to get it 4K. But you know each other
better than I. Yeah.
I'd say, now, last week, I rented, what was the other one? The
Mario Brothers?
Guy Ritchie's.
Oh, Rudy
Covenant.
Covenant.
Oh, Covenant. Sorry. Yeah.
I had to rent that. And I'm glad I did, but because it's not even for sale on Kaleidoscape yet. I had to rent it and at $20, but I'm glad I did. That one there, that's my favorite movie of the year still. This one here, I agree with you, Steve. It's a blast. It's like Cocaine Bear, but it's completely ridiculous. Yeah. There's one scene in my head that I'm like, there's no freaking way. It's like, and it
is this the underwater?
No, that one there. I could actually. That's a little more grounded than. And when I say a little more grounded than the one I'm thinking of, is a hint. There's a high flying scene that you're like, come on.
Oh, of course, yeah. I loved it. I mean, I would say, and again, you know John better than I do. Of course you do. So John, if Deed says don't do it, then go with what Deed says. I say go for it,
because I don't think John would be like, what? Because he'd be mad he spent $20, and then he's like, now am I gonna buy it, because I gotta buy $40 for this movie. I just wait and buy it. I don't think it'll be like,
go with what Deed says, John. Buy it now.
All right.
Get it now. Buy it.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, the messaging. Oh, no.
I would honestly.
I'm a bit more frugal with my purchasing. Well, I don't like to double dip on my movies.
I get that. But this, I'll tell you what, this one, this could be my Bloodsport. You know, this could be the 6 copies.
Bloodshot.
Bloodshot.
Are you hitting that's it a completely next, different movie.
Are you hinting it next week?
No. Although I am.
And you don't even know. That's what's amazing about it.
Yeah, I absolutely loved this film, and I can't wait to see it again. It's great. It can't come out in 4K here quick enough. I know we're going to end up waiting a long time for it.
Yeah,
so you know it's a shame. But as soon as it's available anywhere in the world, in 4K, that's not Kaleidoscape. Take a drink. then I will. Then I'll.
Well, it's only when I talk about it. Apparently.
Well, let's get everybody drunk.
yeah exactly.
What, 4 o'clock in the afternoon your time?
Well, if you listen to the Takeover Tuesday, you're already drunk, so
yeah.
There you go. But,
yeah, so it's
oh yeah cool. Yeah, because we both had one. Yeah, we opened with that.
I only listened to 30 minutes or so of it.
Yeah. Sorry. Hey, the listener takes over. What can I do?
Actually, let me just check if Brock's in there. Brock, what did you make of it? You said good entertainment. What would you say about it in the chat? Brock says, don't expect even 25% realism, but good entertainment. Let's see what he thinks of it, whether he really liked it or just enjoyed it.
Any more realism going into it to begin with.
Not if you've seen the trailer, no.
Right, you knew what you were going to get with this movie from the trailer.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So...
anyway, there we go.
I mean, I would argue John Wick doesn't have 25% realism either.
No, and yet it's still
no. That's the point. That's why. That's why I went with that. What do we got? We have, how many do we each have left?
Well, I've only got one left. So,
and that's the one I did with you
as well.
And you've got that one. So, why don't we have? Steve? Why don't you take this, and then John and I'll wrap up with the other one.
Yeah. Yeah, good idea. Okay, so this is obviously going back a bit now. You've said plenty about this. I know you have, and we've discussed it anyway, haven't we? But this was my first time watching this, which is Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, which came out on Disney Plus last Friday, something like that, in IMAX Enhanced. Now, this is one that, I saw on a screener. So I hadn't seen this in proper surround sound. I hadn't seen it in 4K. I didn't see it at the cinema. So this was my first chance to watch it in 4K Dolby Atmos. And as I said, IMAX enhanced. Now it's not, it's one of those where it's only, there are only certain sequences in IMAX. It's not all in the full ratio. So, so anyway, so I watched it properly for the first time. And I was the most keen on it when we'd all seen it in the theaters. I think that's fair to say. Yeah. And I loved this. I really, really enjoyed it second time round. I had a great time with it. And little viewing buddy came in with about 40 minutes to go and had seen the screener and was like, can I sit and watch? So yeah, of course. Sat down, watched it. And at the end of it, I was like, look, I've got to show you the other bits. And we ended up looking at some of the other stuff. I really like it. I know people don't. I know a lot of people don't like it, but I love it. And I think it's really, really good. So that's that. Now, the video is really what you want to know about with the IMAX enhanced ratios. A lot of people will have already seen it over the weekend. I think this presentation is as good as, if not better, than Multiverse of Madness, which was the one that got us into trouble, Deej, and by us, I mean me, with the pictures, because I was so blown away by the quality of that I posted pictures of someone I shouldn't have done, Patrick Stewart, and that caused issues. So I think this is as good as that, if not better. It's better than Love and Thunder in terms of the video, I think, at least on Disney Plus. And I thought it was exceptional. And the first bit early on where they go into, believe it or not, they go into the quantum universe. So, you know,
right. Quantum alert, realm, yes. People. Exactly.
So when they go into that, and you'll like
it. Spoiling everything, Steve.
Well, it's outrageous. Okay. But when they go into it, they do what you were talking about a few weeks ago with Black Panther, where when they go into it, the black bars move up as they go forward. So that's quite clever. And I was looking out for that. But then the first time they go into the quantum realm, it goes into full IMAX. And it was fantastic. And I watched that. I kid you not. I watched that sequence five times back. I've got to see that again. Got to see that again. And then having finished it with Viewing Buddy, I was like, right, you need to see this. And then watched it again. It was like six times. And I thought it was excellent. And I think throughout the video is really good. I didn't notice any banding and I was looking for it. I didn't notice any kind of artifacts and I was looking for those as well. It all blended perfectly. The Atmos audio was really good. You know, it was, there was bass, there was, you know, a lot of movement, a lot of good stuff in it. Not to what a disc would be. I've got the disc. I bought that on Monday. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. Too many viewings of Sisu.
Going into the quantum realm.
Well, that too. Yeah, lots of that. I'm sure the disc will be better. I'm sure it will be. But in the meantime, if anyone listening or watching, this is the only way you're going to be able to experience it for a while because, you know, times are tough. I get that. Then this is not a bad second choice at all. So I love the film, love the presentation, really impressed. And I've just renewed Disney Plus for another year. So, you know, I feel I already have had money well spent. Really, really good. Really enjoyed it. And I can't recommend this enough. Although and again, as I said before, I understand why there are those that don't like it. I get that. That's fine. Yeah. But I thoroughly enjoyed it. So, yeah, excellent.
Yeah, I think what they're getting so good at this now, filming with keeping HDR in mind and everything. Different artists are utilizing it in different ways. And you have, you know, Matt Reeves is utilizing the HDR to pull detail out of the shadows in a very dark movie. But then you have a movie like Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, or Thor Love and Thunder, or Multiverse of Madness. These movies they play well even on streaming. And I'm wondering, it's starting to get to the point where, you know, we're wondering, are they doing this on purpose so that, because they know, they've learned watching what Netflix is doing and how they're filming their movies, that all of their movies play so well in 4K HDR because of the content that they're shooting, right? They're not like the Batman does not play well on streaming because you're just the nature of it. You're going to lose all of that little detail that you need to get. There's nothing subtle about, you know, Quantum Mania or Multiverse of Madness or Love and Thunder. And there's nothing subtle about these. It's high extremes. It's bright neons down to darkness and this, you know, deep, rich blacks next to bright whites. And that's what people think is the nature of HDR. And it's everything. It's being able to do the Batman as well as you're doing Quantum Mania. But these movies just stream so well that when you go to put the disc in, Steve, I'll be willing to bet that you're like, well, the image is pretty close. Where you gain and they can't fake yet is the sound. And the sound is just so much more dynamic on the physical version.
When I think back to Multiverse of Madness, I remember you and I talked about because I'd seen the stream of that again, which got me into trouble. And then I saw the disc, and there were palpable differences in the disc. You know, there was slime on the, you know, the tentacle creature at the start, which I hadn't seen, and little details like that that popped more on the disc.
Yeah.
And so I suspect, bearing in mind the creatures and the backgrounds and everything else, I think that'll pop a little bit more on the disc. But yeah, the audio, as you say, absolutely right. I'm expecting more heft from that. Although it was no slouch. I was not unentertained by the audio on this. So yeah, it was good. I noticed Paul again just in the chat. He just is saying that he says he thought the image in the HDR was fantastic, and asking if they cropped every shot for the disc because you'll miss a lot. I don't think they do crop them, do they? Like that? I think it's more. Don't they reconstitute the frame to a certain extent? I'm not sure. It's all just we'll just cut the top and bottom off.
No, most of them. I haven't seen. I didn't watch it on. IMAX enhanced. I've been watching it on the Kaleidoscape, and that's just in standard, you know, 240, 235, whatever it is, right? And you don't miss, I don't think you miss anything. It's, I mean, you get a little bit more when it opens up. Like you said, there's a couple of instances like that, but most of the time I feel like, especially with a projector-based system, you're much better off getting that. You know, you put your masking up, you get your nice dark edges, and you're just completely engrossed. Like when they go into the quantum realm, it's really, really good. I mean, the imagery is really good. You're going to watch it on disc and you're going to see it in, I can't wait to hear what you think of it, because I rave about this stuff, but I'm bright side. So, but to hear you, I can't wait for you to hear see the 4K. I wouldn't be surprised if you prefer the 4K. As much as I said, they're getting very close on the stream. Like you said, when I say they're getting very close, you have to literally AB to see the differences, and there will be differences. You will see it and you will like it, especially that opening scene when they're in the they open up in the quantum realm, and you'll see right away, you'll be like, "Ooh, wow. There's the brights are brighter." Basically, is what you're going to see. Is that's what was most noticeable to me, is the highlights just really popped more on the disc. And the but when I say like you have to AB it, it's because like if you watch it and stream at your house and then go to your buddy's house and throw the 4K disc in, you'll swear you're seeing the same thing. It's that close, right?
Yeah.
But you'll know audio wise, you'll be like, whoa. What happened here? Because especially when you watch, I've done it to Jen, my wife, so many times. Like, here's the beginning. Like, we watched, like, I remember we did it with Maverick and stuff, but you do as a stream and then you put on the disc, don't touch the volume at all. And you're like, oh my God, where did all that come from? And you could do it days later and you're like, can you turn it down? Why? It wasn't up that loud the other day. It's like, nope, just more dynamic. It's that much better, but. Yeah, I can't wait for you to hear what your thoughts on the disc.
Yeah, I'm always worried, though. I'm always a little bit worried that we then keep them going week after week after week. It's like Ant-Man this week. Ant-Man on the left-hand side.
Quick comment.
On the right-hand side.
Honorable mentions right at the beginning.
There you go. That's what we'll do.
John, is your microphone working?
It is.
Yeah, got a comment?
I mean, I'm not part of this conversation at all. I saw it in the theater.
Oh, you haven't?
Yeah. I mean,
is it out on disc already? It is out.
It is.
No?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you guys had it last week, didn't you? I think.
Okay.
I bought it.
Yeah.
You guys were much more lukewarm on it than I was. It's just my kind of movie.
I really liked it. It's my favorite Ant-Man movie, and it's made me go back through the others. I liked it. Yeah, I liked it a lot. Yep. Yeah.
I was more lukewarm than anybody, I think.
Yeah, and like I said, I get that. That's not a, you know, again, you are definitely with the mainstream on that, John. Most people, I think, don't get it, don't like it. And after I put up this, my quick review on Twitter, again, loads of people coming back going, it was dreadful.
Right.
I understand that, but
that's fine.
Know, yeah, it's all good. It, you know, it is what it is. And I mean, you know, people are marveling.
Sure. And watch it again. Mm. You know,
I mean,
I didn't hate it.
Right.
It'd be worth seeing the IMAX enhanced version. Give the Disney Plus one a go. I think you'll, I think you'll really enjoy it.
Yeah. Yep. All right. All right. You want to get to our last one here, John?
Sure.
Now you've seen this, Steve, right?
I have, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
not for a long time, though. But I have seen it. No, not this week. I've seen enough this week.
Yeah, exactly. So go ahead, John. Lead us off.
Well, this to me was kind of the opposite of Unleashed. This one I had also seen before quite a while ago and remembered really liking and felt very lukewarm this time around. It didn't hit for me for some reason this viewing. I wasn't sure if you had seen this, Steve. I thought you had actually said you hadn't, but I was going to say, if you haven't seen it, you probably want to stay away because they really play the wushu really plays here. Even more so than Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, I thought. There's some beautiful sequences in this movie. I mean, it looks stunning. I guess we should back up. This was 1080p Blu-ray disc, master audio. There isn't a 4K version of it. But it still looked great on Blu-ray. It sounded great. There's some sequences in here. The arrow attacks, especially where the sound is really, really nice. And it's got great fight scene. There's like the elements are all there, but for some reason, it just felt very blah to me when I watched it this time. And I think DJ's sort of shaking his head in agreeing with me. I don't know. Maybe not. I had forgot Donnie Yen was in this though.
I've forgotten that as well.
Yeah, he popped up and I didn't even recognize him, to be honest with you. My wife said, "Oh, that's IP man." And I said, "Oh, IP man."
Yeah.
But you know, they had a really great scene together, and I don't know, like I said, the pieces are all there. It's a great disc. It looks really, really good. Sounds great. The martial arts sequences, again, if you can get past the flying and the wushu, and that stuff doesn't, it used to really bother me a lot, but like I said before, I've just accepted that this is just the type of story. It's like watching a superhero movie or anything else where they're flying and doing things. That doesn't bother me so much. But it is present a lot here. But the choreography again is fantastic. But I was a little bit lukewarm on the movie itself. So, DJ?
See, I thought the movie was good, especially it being a true story. You know, they're basically retelling a part of history.
All of these seem to be. Well, not, I mean, right. Unleashed is not a true story, but a lot of these epics.
Unleashed isn't true.
Yeah, I would say not everything is, but, you know, a lot of these ones that we've been watching are based on, you know, true events, at least.
Very, very loosely based. I think.
Loosely
based.
Well, right. Yeah. And like you said, what is it? It's called Wushu or whatever. Yes, where they're like, I think, and we didn't talk about it a couple of weeks ago because we were pressed for time, but we have a little bit more here. And it's like, I don't mind that stuff because I think it's an exaggeration of the art itself, of martial arts, right? It's like, I mean, I've been around martial arts my whole life, and it's the idea of martial art. Like I've said to you before, it's like, it's almost like golf. You practice it by yourself. It's a dance. It's a movement. It's this. And then when you utilize it with somebody, you know, in a defense situation, it's like I see this in the movies all the time, and I can't remember which one it was recently where it was like, I'm pretty sure it was in one of the Ip Man's, and the master is always fighting with a hand behind his back, right? And you always have him, and he's got his hand placed on the small of his back, and he's doing his whole thing, whether it's with a sword or whatever. But it's always a, and that's, you know, I had an instructor once tell me that, like, yeah, and he was doing it to me. And he's like, it's as much to show off and to show their respect, but it's also an intimidation factor, right? Because you're like, holy crap, I can't do anything. And he's only using one hand. So, I mean, but then they exaggerate stuff like this, and then they'll have them jump and fly and stuff. But the other, like, martial arts is when you're going against an opponent that's that much better than you. They're moving twice as fast. They're seeing things twice as fast, or X amount of moves ahead. So I'm wondering if all of this came from that idea of, like, that's what it's really like to, like, Steve, aren't you a black belt, buddy?
Yeah, I'm black belt first dan in Aikido. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So take yourself back to the days when you'd be fighting a black belt and you'd be attacked and you're like, how did that guy just hit me? I didn't even see that leg come from there in real life because things move so fast. And I'm wondering, do you think it's possible that they're taking in the movies, they're trying to portray that to people like that maybe have never been in a situation like this? Never, you know.
I like the idea. I've never thought of it that way. That's a really nice way of thinking about it. And that is interesting. As I said, I've never thought about it like that. Whereas the way I've always rationalized it is I've always thought, well, it's a fairy tale. They're telling Chinese legends and fairy tales and deliberately heightened stories. Yeah. And so I was thought, so it's not supposed to be realistic because that's not the story they're telling.
Exaggerating for aesthetics. Well, exaggerating artistic license. Yeah,
I think so. And you know, again, it's like, it would be like saying, well, how can Peter Pan fly? You know, you think, well, that doesn't make sense. Well, actually, this is the tale and it's part of that story. But why I bump up against it, and it's a purely personal thing, is with everybody. Yeah. I mean, you know, everyone's got their own different views, generally on Twitter. But everyone's got their different views, as I've discovered today, on something completely different. Is that I find martial arts, when I see it, I like the display of athleticism. I like to see the and even if it's just gymnastics, going back to Jim Carter back in the 80s, or if it's, you know, or if it's gymnastics, or whether it's speed, or whether it's power, or a mixture of all of it, I like to see that display of athleticism done as grounded a way as it can be. Bear in mind, it's a film or a TV show. It's never going to be real. Realistic with the stuff that I do, someone's lying in a pool of blood in 2 seconds, and that's not very theatrical. Steven Seagal, you know, the Aikido he does is absolute nonsense on film. It's just not how it works. So within artistic license and entertainment, I like to see it more grounded, if I can. So I said to you before, so I love the Bruce Lee movies. You know, again, that's heightened.
Grounded.
You get the impression he can do it.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. And even into Van Damme and Chuck Norris and all these guys that came along afterwards, there is some realism within it. Yeah, and I say that knowing that's a stupid word to use even as I say it, because none of this is real. But it's
grounding to it.
Yeah, it is. And I like that more. I prefer that. But that doesn't mean I can't enjoy Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. And I mean, even in It Man, there's a few little bits where people move in ways that you can't and you wouldn't. But that doesn't bother me so much as with House of Flying Daggers and things like Hero, where they can, as I say, stand on a blade of grass or ride a raindrop, or, you know, and then, you know, then that becomes a little bit more tricky.
Peter Pan, the rooftops.
Exactly that. So I don't mind it so much in those, but there are movies where it preys on it. And then I just find myself not quite as engaged as I would be. But it's a purely personal choice. I like your theory, Deej. I'm going to subscribe to that from now on. I like that. I've never thought of that before. That's actually very cool. So, yeah, I think I'd go with that.
You see it in real life. People can do real, like, things that you're like, that's not possible. Right. And especially in the martial arts, when we, you know, growing up, it's like ninjas would just run right up a wall. And in real life, there are guys that can do that. And it's a special skill. So, and while I think all they're doing here is exaggerating that a little bit. And again, having been around it and having, you know, sparred with people or rolled with people, as you'd say in jujitsu, people can do some amazing things that, you know, you're like, how do we now, how can we elaborate on that in film form? Right. Mm-hmm. And I, that's how I appreciate it, you mm-hmm. know? But yeah,
Paul's got some stuff in chat yeah. again. Sorry, it's only because he's mentioning it. So, you know, he says that he thinks in old Wushu literature, the idea was the heroes became so spiritually tuned. That's mm-hmm. key, isn't it? That right. they gained some limited power of flight, and it's straight out of the literature. So again, it's a fantasy tale. Yeah,
absolutely. And that's a great interpretation as well. Mm-hmm. But that's what's fun about art. It's like I would much rather hear the interpretations than somebody just go, well, that's not real. Well, no kidding. Well, but here, instead of just getting aggravated and going, that's not real, try to think of what the artist is trying to portray here.
Right. And then talk about how great Deadpool was, you know?
Exactly. You know? Right. Exactly. People will be like, oh, I love Deadpool, or I love Star Wars was amazing.
Right.
But, oh, that was dumb. You can't do that. What? We're like, oh, okay. So I'm getting chills. It just aggravates me.
If we're talking about Star Wars and obviously martial arts crossovers, it's still an absolute crime that Donnie Yen never got to use a lightsaber. That's all I'm saying, right? Just ooh. Having seen the Ip Man films again, now you guys having seen them, it is an absolute crime. The man should have been a Jedi and should have had a lightsaber all day long. Sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe it was a purposeful thing to say, like, because he's more.
Well, he was great with the staff.
Do you need a lightsaber? Can't you be great even without a lightsaber? Can't you do that? It's like, I get what you're saying. It's kind of like getting a crown. But
see, for us as viewers, you know.
Yeah. To be fair, I mean, if he did, of course, he would have ended up dicing those stormtroopers into like little bits, which isn't very Star Wars-y. But it would have been just cool to see.
Yeah. Right.
When do we get a deleted scene? Just give him a lightsaber. I don't care. Right. Just someone rotoscope one on top of it. That'll be fine. I'd just love to see him use a lightsaber.
Yeah. So my interpretation of this movie, now that we've dissected the story, there's the opening with the horses. That was amazing. The galloping, and that happens a few times through the movie where the horses galloping. That was, again, so nice and crisp, much like I said about the thunder earlier, where you get the clap, but there was such a nice bit. It's almost like you could hear each and every hoof hitting. It was really, really good, really impressive. And like I said, it shows up a few times. This is another movie. I can't remember what it was, and I failed to mention it last week, but there was a Blu-ray that I checked multiple times. This isn't a 4K? Are you sure this isn't a 4K?
It looked great.
It looked fantastic. Oh, actually, I know the other movie. And
the colors, like when they're in the calligraphy school, it's all red somewhere else. It was kind of like goes back to House of Flying Daggers.
Flying Daggers, yeah.
Dragons. I'm thinking dragon. Because I see House of the Dragons next to your image there. But yeah, you know, where it was the greens and everything. And the use of color in these movies is
that's fantastic. You know. John, it's like, look at you and I right there.
Yeah.
Act one, red. They use red hues in they were battling in a field, I think, or they had the drapes or something. That was blue. Act two, it was a blue hue. Remember, they were all, and that's when I noticed it, because now they're out in a field. Everything's blue, including them. They're like, everything is tinted blue. It worked too. And then I'm like, what are they going to do in act three? And I'm like, because we went with red, we went with blue. I go, are we going to go with yellow? And they hit you at first. They hit you with green.
Right.
And I was like, holy crap. And that was that was the drapes where like our curtains were flowing around and everything was doused in a nice green. And it's like, I was like, ooh, I was like, that's very creative. They went with the primaries of light, not the primaries of paint. And then later, how do they wrap up final scene? It's like basically yellow. So they hit it all. And I was like, that was really, really cool. Each act had its own primary. And then they hit both the primaries. And I was like, that was really, really, and I thought it played really well, not being HDR.
Right.
And it just looked so good. Very crisp, very clean. But then the hues and everything just really jumped off the screen to me. So.
Yeah. And like I said, it has some great, you know, you talked about the horses and I talked about the arrows, but the other sound as well was like the synchronized movement of the army, like going up the stairs or when they were like kind of parting the sea for Jet Li's character to be able to, Nameless to be able to walk through or whatever. I mean, that sounded fantastic as well.
Well, in a lot of these too, a lot of these martial arts movies is, it's the absence of sound as well, because they'll be battling. And then when they go to make a move and it goes either into a slow motion or something, you'll get the, and you'll be like, whoa. And then all of a sudden the action will pick up and the sound comes back or something. Just so, I mean, it really is, this one here, I was surprised you were a little bit disappointed.
I thought the experience of it was great.
Yeah.
For some reason, the story itself felt short for me this time. And I remembered really liking this movie.
I wonder if that's what it is. Like, you came into this one expecting to like it more. You probably liked it the same as you did Unleashed, but you came in lower on Unleashed and you came in high, and where you ended up at the same. It's like, I wanted to
just watch so many better martial arts movies this week or last couple of weeks that maybe it just didn't hold up to some of the other ones, you know.
But yeah, great ending. Great.
I've seen Fury 3 times since we talked about it.
Say that again? Since I dipped out.
Fearless. I've seen 3 times since
we really?
Talked about it. Nice.
Wow.
Because the Blu-ray disc that I watched had a defect on it. So I got a replacement, which is actually why I got Unleashed, because the guy could only replace it with the
2-in-1.
The 2-in-1. Yeah. So I had to watch it again to make sure that the disc was good. And then I watched Unleashed to go with it. So I've watched Fearless 3 times. And it's just so much better than Hero that maybe...
It's an easy watch, isn't it?
Yeah, it was very easy to watch. And I was engaged each time, even though I watched it, like you with Sisu, like just a couple of days apart. But it was so good.
If you're going to mention Sisu, $20, John. $20. That's what it is. Sorry, did I say that? No, I think there's an echo.
I didn't hear it.
That's funny.
If I say it enough times, it'll be like that sort of,
Wake up and buy it because it'll just be a thing.
Is it out in the theaters there? Do you guys know?
It was. I don't know if it still is. It might have gotten
be
very
cheaper than $20, wouldn't it?
To probably. Go and see it. By the time I buy popcorn and a Coke, it'll still be $20. But at least I'll get a date night out of it.
So, one here is not exactly a date night movie.
Probably not. I'll likely watch this one by myself because she didn't watch Cocaine Bear either. So.
I don't know. Yeah, it's not really.
Yeah,
it's not. You could with a significant other, but I'm not sure.
No.
I saw it on my own both times.
That is a significant, significant other.
Yeah. A really significant
other. Right. It's funny because I went down to watch it and my wife's like, oh, is it something we could watch? I go, I don't think so. Yeah, I came back up and she could hear a lot of it. She was like, how was it? I go, it wasn't for you.
Viewing buddy has been saying all week, can I see it? Can I say it? No, you cannot.
I remember when I went to the theater and I saw, let's pull this down so I can add another image. But I went to the theater and I saw Rambo, speaking of 50 Cal. So I saw Rambo, the most recent one, just called Rambo, right? Where he goes back, he goes back into Vietnam again.
That's not the most recent one because you've had
that's Mexico.
That's Mexico. John. You had Rambo, and then you had Rambo Last Blood. Last Blood is the most recent one. Rambo is the one before that.
No. But what I'm saying is the most recent Rambo. It's just Rambo is the title. Was the title of the movie was called Rambo.
Yeah, sorry.
That was it. The only Rambo before that was Rambo First Blood Part 2. Right? Because First Blood is First Blood. Then you have Rambo 3. And then, but the most, it was just titled, the title of the movie was Rambo. And that's it. So that's the one, right?
Yeah.
So in that movie, spoilers, they use a 50 cal and they basically show you what this gun will do.
Yeah.
And that's what my son wanted to see it at the time. I think he was like 12 and I was like, you know, he's right at that age where PG-13, I'll let him see all of those. Mm-hmm. And even maybe an R that had some violence, if it was appropriate violence, meaning like fake, right? Like, you know, it's fake. Appropriate that was violence. So hyper real. You're like, well, you know what I mean? Like, there's some rated R movies that you're just like, it's just people beating them up or somebody gets killed, but it's so fake. You're just like, you can separate it where this would potentially give somebody nightmares. And for a kid that, you know, he's like a, you know, typical boy, he's really into guns. I was like, no, I can't let him see that. I can't. And then when he was old enough to see it, and I was like, this is the one I didn't want you to see. And we watched it together. He goes, wow. I was like, yeah, the guy literally just guy on screen. He gets shot and the guy goes, pew.
Like, have you seen that was the unrated one, presumably, because there's the unrated one is the director's cut. There's an alternate director's cut, which is more violent.
That one was in the theaters. That was the regular one. I just the way they used it. Like, remember, he gets on the back of the Jeep and you see a guy just get ripped right in half. And it was just really violent. And you're like,
that's what I was thinking when I said about the 50 cal. That is one of the ones I always think about, because that's where it just goes bang, 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 bang. Great.
Yeah. And I love it. Yeah. It's great.
Well, that again, but if you compare that to First Blood, I know we always end up on First Blood, Deej, but if you compare that to First Blood, I mean, it's as different as Peter Pan to Sisu. You know, it's a completely different.
Well, yeah, First Blood's a film. It really is a film. It had a purpose.
It becomes a comic book character from two.
Yeah,
it does. Right. And then you go in, and then everything after that you go into basically, you know, 80s action films.
Similarly, right. Rocky, you know, after Rocky II, he becomes a comic book character.
Yeah, you got two great stories out of Rocky, right? You got, you know, one and two. And then after that, it's like they, you know, jump the shark. And literally,
they're all great fun.
Thunderlips jump the shark.
They're very different movies.
Yeah. So, all right, let me see.
I'll stop talking Sisu now.
Oh, $20, $20, $20, John, $20.
Now I'm whispering it back.
All right.
It worked. It's gone into the
subconscious. I know, it's already back. I'm already buying it. Look at that.
All right. Apparently, the only way I can stop us from... Do you like that?
Just mute me.
I'm like... I'm going to make a segment out of this one way or another.
I'll just say, because we're way deep into the show.
Yeah, no, sorry, guys. Yeah, I knew this was going to happen. I knew, but we could go a little bit longer.
No, we're good. We're good. We're only at 1:32. So if we go, we started a little late and you said you could go a little late. So there you go. We got just under a half hour left. So we'll probably get to most, if not all, of our listener experiences. So, but here we are. What's coming on, Tuesday, May 30th, Rain Man.
I'd forgotten this was coming.
Yeah. Rain Man in 4K. We don't have that one yet. We have a bunch here today. I think it's like 13 different movies coming on Tuesday. Cool. Big, big day. So, Rain Man coming on Tuesday. Also, Thelma and Louise coming on Tuesday.
Never seen it.
Criterion. Movie.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. You've never seen this?
Never seen it. No, I know. I know what happens at the end because it's one of those things that's been shown forever.
Right. Yeah.
But I've never seen.
Sorry about that. Patrick Stewart really shows up.
That's a really good movie. Yeah.
Yeah. We're gonna get blocked. We'll get blocked. Yeah. We'll get canceled.
I can't. Well, I congratulations, because that means I would have made it to get canceled. Right. So. I'm hearing a lot more podcasters, famous people that do podcasts too, say, you can't cancel me. I do podcasts. That's what they make. They base their living off of that. Everything else is extra. So if you get canceled, they're like, okay, I'll just keep doing my podcast. Really. Exactly. Like, and then, you know, and that's how, it's funny. It's funny. So Yeah, so Thelma and Louise. I might actually, I'm looking forward to that one. I'm hoping it pops up on Kaleidoscape.
Criterion, so. Though. Do you get the Criterion releases?
Eventually, yes. We do. We eventually get those.
I don't know
if I mean on
Kaleidoscape. No, but on Kaleidoscape. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think eventually those end up showing up there. That I'll have to look into it, but yeah. Let's see. What's this one here? Oh, Robert Mitchum and Shelley Winters in The Night of the Hunter. Oh, from 1955.
Cricket. Hate on his neck.
John, that's why we got you, buddy.
Yep.
Yep. DJ just read
that's
the cover.
That's a movie that's coming out.
Wait, that's why he's the best color man in the business, everybody.
That's right.
Oh, that was awesome. That was awesome. All right. The Last Starfighter. What do you think of this one?
Man, I hope it holds up. I'm scared. I love this movie.
Yeah. I'm scared too,
because I haven't seen it since I was a teenager, probably. But yeah. I loved this movie growing up.
I'd be frightened.
But it has the potential to not be good. You know.
Yeah. It's the
same because your expectations are raised, right?
Well, no, but it just probably. I don't know if it'll hold up. You know, it was great for what it was when we were kids. You know what I mean? I just don't know how good the movie really. It's like Conan. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. It did not hold up.
It maybe lives a lot better in our imagination than it will in
that's the thing. Rose-tinted spectacles are the best spectacles to have. There's another film like that, Krull. Have you guys ever seen Krull?
Oh, yes, yep. I have seen
Krull.
That's another film
I loved when I was a kid.
Right, but I haven't seen it since I was a kid.
It's out here on a special edition Blu-ray. A friend of mine was talking about it the other day, and I'm like, I can't because I love that movie, The Glaive. You know,
I almost don't want to watch it because I don't want to spoil it.
Exactly that. Yeah. I remember it so well. I don't want to now remember to right. Yeah, my memory has created the perfect movie and I don't need it. You know, I don't need reality crashing in.
Yeah.
But I'm hopeful. I'm really hopeful for this because I love this movie.
John and I did Conan the Barbarian on our other show and we were so excited to do it and it was like a unanimous thing, like when we got to it, and back then we didn't like to tell each other anything. We were just like, what the hell, how did we ever think this was good? And it's like if the end there when James Earl Jones turns into the snake and you're just like,
pretty rough.
I mean, it looked like, I'd seen better claymation on Gumby.
Yeah. Davy and Goliath.
You would have, exactly.
Melt
Goliath, that would have looked more realistic.
I mean, it's a cult classic for a reason, but it really didn't hold up for me or DJ.
I've got a soft spot for that. The sword wielding stuff is awesome.
It's a heavy piece of metal and a big strong guy, and that's about it. It's like the whole movie is super slow. That's what I mean. It's like where was the story? The story takes about 10 minutes.
Yeah,
but then the rest of it. I mean, even the Ten Commandments, where they wander in the desert for 40 years, that was a faster pace. Conan the Barbarian.
I've got a soft spot for that. But then I was a massive Arnold Schwarzenegger fan as a kid. So I still am.
Yeah. And that's what I think. John and I came into that one so high and so excited for it. And then we're like, the two of us were just like, yeah, but then it was so. I think the buzzards and everything, we even commented on it. Was so bad.
But that's the problem, that it lived better in our memories.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, this might be the same then. I'm not sure I could buy this. I'd be too worried. I remember it being really good.
I'll give it a shot, I think. But all right. Moving right along. Wes Craven's The People Under the Stairs from 1991.
I haven't seen this.
Me neither.
I haven't either.
No.
You haven't, Steve?
No, I haven't. It's one of very few Wes Craven movies that I haven't seen. I mean, I like the poster. It looks cool.
It looks great.
But I've not heard much about it, which worries me, because Wes Craven could,
it's very, very subtle poster, the way they work that skull into the sky.
yeah, or quite, yeah, just blends beautifully, doesn't it?
Yeah, you wouldn't even know it was there.
So yeah, I it's one I might look up and see if I can find it on a streaming service somewhere.
Have you heard bad things about it? How come you haven't?
Paul says it's fantastic.
I haven't heard anything about it. That's the thing that worries me, because that says it's one of lesser Craven. But based on what Paul says, yeah. Okay. I'll see if I can find it on a streamer somewhere, because I'd have to import this. This isn't out here.
Yeah.
So I'd have to import it. So it'll cost a lot. So I need to make sure that I really want it.
It is the collector's edition.
Well, I feel better already.
There you go.
I'm bound to be able to find a streaming service somewhere.
Oh, I'm sure.
So I'll give it a go on that, and then I may well pick that up. Not that I'm at least a $3
iTunes rental or something, but
yeah. I'll be able to find it. Yeah.
Hmm.
All right. And also we have Cliffhanger re-release, I imagine.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
I've had this one a while.
Yeah, this is already out.
I don't know why. Disc. Steelbook, great disc, great Atmos. Reference Atmos, honestly.
Yeah, this is one of Sony's first back cat really AAA releases. You know, this is great on 4K.
Yeah. Mm. Yep. And hang on a second. Next up we have never even heard of this one. Drowning by Numbers from 1988.
No. It's apparently about drowning, but by numbers.
Yeah.
Exactly. I've sort of heard. It's got a pool in it.
I hate being in a pool full of numbers. All right. The Haunting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
This was quite popular at the time, I seem to remember. Yeah. Didn't do a lot for me from what I remember seeing it in the cinema. Is 98?
99.
Here you go. Yep. I remember seeing it when I worked at the cinema. Yeah. But it's very popular. A lot of people really like this.
It was okay. Like I remember it being okay, but I've seen it a couple times, actually.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. I feel like I did see this one. Jen and I saw this in the theater, I believe. All right. This one from 2023. Mm. Two editions of Dungeons & Dragons, Honor Among Thieves.
So this is John's Bloodshot.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah. I know you didn't love this one, Steve, but I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, I'm going to pick it up, but it's not out here until the end of July. We've got to wait ages for this. That's I don't know why.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I will pick it up. I want to see it again. And again, Viewing Buddy really wants to see it again. Yeah. So I will pick it up. I'm looking forward to it properly this time.
Yeah, because I'm hoping that, well, you've seen it on Kaleidoscape, DJ. Mm. So,
yeah.
Because I would say I'm hoping that the disc is great quality, and it should be.
Mm. Yeah. The Kaleidoscape was fantastic. It was, I really, really enjoyed this one.
And it's certified fresh, apparently. So
there you go. Well, there you go. So Tuesday, we get to hear John's thoughts, maybe. May 30th.
You've got at least one film that you must watch before this, John.
I've got two on deck this week.
Well, he won't get this until Tuesday when we were before. Right. So he won't have a chance. So maybe, maybe by sometime in June, we'll get to hear about it.
I am itching to find out what he makes of the film that he's supposed to have seen that missed for today.
Yeah.
You didn't get it in time, right?
Well,
he's had it. He had it the weekend, didn't you?
Had Raging Fire. I've had it. I just didn't get a chance to watch it. We had a big family day on Sunday, and I didn't get to watch really any movies. And I couldn't do it last night. But I will watch it for next week for sure.
Oh,
and then
dying to find out what
then you the other think. One that I texted you guys before the show. I'll watch tomorrow. Probably watch them both tomorrow.
Oh. So.
Yeah, that's another great one for next week.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. There we go. Any interest in this, guys?
I do. But
I did, but I've heard a lot of bad stuff.
Me too. But
have either? So neither of you seen it?
No.
If I tell you why I've seen half of it,
that tells me all I need to know, right?
Yeah. I know.
Yeah, I had a screener of this. I saw half of it. Started watching it on a Sunday afternoon again with a couple of other people, and just lost interest. Yeah. And they lost interest really quickly. And because of that, then I was struggling to kind of, you know, stay with it. I'm going to give it a go. I will buy it again. I will buy it in 4K. I will give it another go. But think of every cliche dinosaur sci-fi movie you can think of, and then put Adam Driver in it.
Right.
Jesus.
In the half that I've seen, there was nothing you couldn't have written down beforehand and just been like, and not be excited at all. Even you, Deej, might struggle with a bright side on that one, buddy.
That, well, I had no interest just based off of like Adam Driver, 65. You know, I'm like, yeah, I had nothing caught me. And then I heard Bad Things. And yeah, and I love Adam Driver. I just don't, not in this genre. I mean, I'd rather see him in a drama.
When I saw the premise of this movie, I was super intrigued by it. You know, I thought the idea of that was pretty clever. But then I people started seeing it and putting their thoughts out there, and it's not very, very, very favorable.
I mean, I think it would have worked better had they not revealed that it was Earth 65 million years ago. They should have kept that as a brilliant little, you know, Planet of the Apes style ending, you know, twist in the end. That would have been much better. So, but as it is, you know what's going
on. Steven says Sci-Fi Channel worthy, but some good HT experience.
Well, and that's what I thought. So, if nothing else, it should be really good.
Chris enjoyed
Dolby Vision and
Now I'm feeling better. Now I'm feeling better. People did like it. So,
like I said, I'm going to buy it. I will get it.
A good Sci-Fi Channel movie isn't always the worst thing. So,
I don't know if it's worthy of an on-air purchase, but yeah, I'll probably get it.
Well, this is our new
buy it behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Oh, the Nutty Professor.
Yeah. This one here, is another one that I actually got to, and I say another one because there's somebody watching along in the chat that I mentioned this about Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. But this is a movie I actually got to be the projectionist in third grade in my elementary school. Cause we did
Sorry. I was going to say, I had no idea Josh Gad was in this. Looks just like him.
Yeah.
Yeah, we used to do after school screenings of movies, and literal reel to reel screenings. And they were like, Horseman, I think it was. And they had, third grade was the oldest grade in the school. And they needed, you know, so they took me as a volunteer to actually run the projector, which means I sat there and if something went wrong, call a teacher.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. So, but that was, you know.
Third grade?
Eight.
Okay. All right. Okay.
8 years old.
Handling flammable celluloid.
Yeah. What can go wrong, right? Yeah, but fine. It was fun. It was fun. Not one I'm probably going to pick up from 1963 in 4K. Just to let you
know. Not likely.
We're selling movies left and right over here, boys. On the Transformers set. This is the entire set.
Steelbook set, though, right? Because wasn't the set already out?
Yeah. And this, have you seen this set? I guess it was one through five,
though, right?
What's that?
I think the previous set didn't have Bumblebee in it.
That's right.
No.
Yeah.
Well, now they're putting them all together because the new one coming out is basically it's the next one after Bumblebee, and it's going to tie them all together. Whereas when Bumblebee came out, they're like, is this part of the same one? But yeah, did you see this set? Ralph Potts put it out, and like he got his early, and the box that it comes
in. Does it change into a boombox or something?
Yeah. That would have been cool.
It would have been.
They missed a step.
They should
put
it in a transforming.
It did look
box.
Nice. I mean, Ralph's images were really nice.
Yeah. I've got the set. This is one where I bought the box set years ago, and I still haven't watched the 4K versions. I've seen the movies, and I've just never got around to rewatching them. I need to. I've got Bumblebee, and I watched that since.
Yeah.
But these five, I've never got around to putting in the 4K disc. They're on the shelf. They're there. And but I've just never quite got around to it. Yeah. Well, five in particular, I remember the ending on the floating land stuff looked incredible.
When
it came out, but I haven't rewatched these, so I need to do that at some point. Eventually.
All right. And the last one here, Violet Evergarden.
Never
from 2020.
Search me.
Me neither.
What it was probably an Oscar nominee, right? It's one of those Oscar nominee movies that nobody's seen.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like an anime though, doesn't it?
So yeah, it's animated. Animated. Violet Evergarden, the movie. So I don't know much about it. I'll have to see what people say. So, and that will do it for Tuesday, not just May 30th. That just does it for the segment.
Nope.
You've
skipped over the biggest release of next week.
In 4K?
Cocaine Bear.
Not here.
I know, but it's out here. Oh,
well, you got to give me an image.
It is for sure coming, right?
Well, do you know what? Before tonight, every day I check Amazon to just make sure it hasn't gone. And as of now, it is still there. So,
okay.
Oh.
I'll have to import that because we're not getting it.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to have a little chat about that, John, see if I can get it to you quicker, maybe if I get it.
Or maybe so, like
Yeah.
Let me know.
Yeah, we'll see. But firstly, just got to pray
it actually comes out.
Yeah, but I think we can all agree that's the biggest release of next week.
For sure.
There you go. Yeah. I mean,
I've already got it.
Huh?
You're like, I've already got it.
Yeah,
not a big release for me.
I know. I already have it on Kaleidoscape. Take a drink. See, I have it right there, sitting there. Dolby Atmos, HDR, all the good stuff. So, oh, that's so funny. All right, see, you should send me that image. Tell me.
Yeah, to be honest,
I don't get it here.
You started mentioning it.
I only had 13 images to make.
Right. What's one more?
Yeah, what's one more? Oh, no biggie. All right. Lee, you want to get to some listener comments?
Yep.
All righty. Oh, that open was so long. We're out of time. I'm just kidding.
Tune in next week for
listener
time, experience. Same bat channel.
All right. This one here I had saved. Very special listener sent this one along. John, would you like to read it?
Yeah. It's a meme that I sent DJ. It says, you think it's cool to hate things? It's not. It's boring. Talk about what you love and keep quiet about what you don't. I don't know if that's actually a scene from a real movie, but
no. I think it's just her. It's just they use the image, but
you know, if that's not, you know, what this show is about, I don't know what is.
Exactly. Yeah. John sent that to me and I was like, oh, get misty eyed over here. He knows me. He really knows me. all right. That's all we have to say on that. Poor Steve's over there going, that's not me.
Well, right. I was feeling quite bad.
Steve's like, it's in English, but I don't understand it.
Yeah.
I was keeping quiet about what I don't.
It's not the King's English, that's why.
Right. Steve tweeting out today, I've blocked more people today than I can.
To be fair, it's nothing to do with home theater.
I know. I know, you're still following me, so good news. Steve, you want to read this one from our buddy PK?
Yeah, so this is, I'm presuming this, PK, this is congratulating the guys for their wins on our
giveaways.
So it says, congrats, Gorinda Pargi or Parge. I hope I'm saying that right, Gorinda. Forgive me if I'm not. And Daniel for the prized, with a capital P, possessions. Congrats to you three Musketeers as well for being in the top three.
Top 3%. Yep, that we said. Yeah, top 3%. Thanks, PK.
You buried the lead a little bit on that because I looked it up after you'd mentioned it. I looked it up. You're talking top 3% of over 3 million podcasts.
Yes.
You're not just talking top three of a few hundred or even a few thousand. We're talking over 3 million.
I know.
Wow. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. I looked it up. I was like, wow.
Yeah, but that means there's a lot of us. There's a lot of people in 3 million, but.
3% of 3 million.
Yeah. No, I know. And it's, but that's, I mean, it's, you don't, again, like I said, you don't get there. The reason we're there is because of the listener engagement and the listener and the listeners that we have clicking on it, doing, you know, because the reason, I mean, we're not huge, but the idea is anybody can make a podcast. Anybody, and that's why there's 3 million. It's actually higher than that now. There's like 4 million or something. Yeah. But a lot of people have done podcasts and they think it's easy. And then they're like a month later, it no longer exists, but that goes into the rankings. right? And that's what I'm saying. So it's like, and it all is based on clicks and engagement and stuff like that. So it's, you know, yes, we do this every week. We do it because we love it. John and I started doing it because we're like, just record what we already do. And that's what it is. And, you know, but it's because of the listeners. So keep it going, guys. All right. When I say that, I'm talking to the listeners, not us. I'm like, keep telling people.
Oh, I was gonna just about to hang up.
Yeah.
Well, keep going. Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Let's see. Tommy Guns commented on Home Theater Experience Dungeons and Dragons Honor Among Thieves 4K on Kaleidoscape. Says, great segment. Yep, there you go. Great segment. Shaolin Soccer is an awesome movie, pure fun. Be sure to chamber Speed Racer live action movie, pure eye candy. The Game with Michael Douglas, Super 8, wicked soundtrack. Terminator Salvation soundtrack is pretty wicked. Jupiter Ascending 3D, if capable, awesome stuff. Keep up the great work. Great comment, Tommy. Love it because you're bringing sight, scenes, and sounds for us to see. I don't think I've ever seen Speed Racer. I've never seen that one. I don't think.
Yeah, you know that meme that you put up a minute ago.
Yeah,
I've got nothing to say about Speed Racer.
Yeah, yeah.
Really? Yeah. Okay.
Well, it is pure eye candy, right? I mean, that's,
yeah,
it's visual.
Yeah,
yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah.
The Game I saw in the theater with mm-hmm. Michael Douglas. Jen and I saw that. That was fantastic. Mm. No, I wouldn't say fantastic. That was fun. That was a good movie.
Yeah, the where Speed Racer is all style, no substance, and that's a very unpopular view, by the way. Most people,
there that's are me, people
that love it. No. I mean, Bill Hunt, for instance, from Digital Bits. I mean, Speed Racer is like his favorite film. I mean, he loves it. He wants Speed Racer more than he wants The Abyss. Yeah. You know, but I've tried to watch it three times and never made it to the end. I just can't get on board with that. As it were, bear in mind it's about cars. But Super 8, great soundtrack. Terminator Salvation, talk about a film that's greater than some of its parts. There are some great sequences in that. I would love to have I got that in 4K? I have got that in 4K.
I think I have it as well.
Yeah, but I think it's DTS HD. But it's I like that movie with all its flaws. I mean, it makes no sense.
I still
haven't quite figured out why Sam Worthington doesn't know he's a Terminator. I've never quite sussed that out because he's the most advanced one ever if he doesn't even know he's one.
Well, that's the point.
How does that work?
Well, have you seen Westworld?
Well, first season.
There you go. It's like the idea is that they don't even know. But can't you just cut yourself open?
But all the other Terminators know, all of them, including the T-1000, which is more advanced, or the TX, which is more advanced than this than Sam Worthington, but he doesn't know he's a Terminator. I've never been around that.
But that's how advanced he is. They got him so advanced they don't even know they are, so they can't even give themselves away. Yeah, no, seriously, that's the idea.
Prior to the others, though, he's created prior to the T-800. So how does that work?
We're also talking time travel.
Well.
Oh, well, no, don't bring logic into the argument.
Well, but it's
the whole story is based on time travel, Steve, and you're going to start documenting when things happened. John Connor was brought, his dad was brought back in time to have his birth, but he was born after him.
Yeah.
I just made a lawyer go, I stumped the lawyer.
Yeah.
All right. Tommy, thank you for the comment. Look what you've done to us. We might be back next week. Oh, let's see. Box of Popcorn. Van Gool here. Sorry, guy. Van Gool here. Dan sent you a story about his niece talking about juvenile diabetes. My sister Jana was like 7 or so and got type 1 diabetes, and we didn't know what to do. My mother was the same and learned everything she could and was prepared with juice boxes in her purse. My sister played basketball in high school and likes to hike the outdoors. She is now married to a great guy, and you can't tell that she has it with how she controls it. I donated a box of popcorn because his story touched me, sent from my iPad. So Van Cool. Thank you. Wow, what the hell? What was that? You know, the one where he reads the cue card.
Yes.
Call me. Yeah.
Anchorman.
Yeah, there you go. So thank you, Van Gool. Thank you to everybody for send in your stories like this. And, you know, like Dan said, he's a great story and great cause. So we didn't get any more boxes this week. This actually came in the week before. So this is one of our comments held over from last week. But we didn't get any more boxes this week. And we're standing pat so far on our Patreon. So appreciate a little bit more somewhere in there to get that number up for Joe so that he's looking to match at 100, you know, he'll match 100% of whatever we donate. And we're getting up there because obviously Dan stepped up huge with $100, Van Gool 25. And we had somebody who I forget who it was. It was at 10 or something. So we're getting there earlier in the month, but yeah, so we got until next week, when we close out the month. So please get your, you know, donate if you can. If you can't, send in a comment and make somebody donate. Inspire them, I should say. Not make them. Inspire them.
Robbery.
Yeah, exactly.
Wire fraud.
Yeah, exactly. So that I got to choose my words a little more wisely. Inspire somebody. So like Dan.
Now you're glad you got a lawyer around.
There you go. I am very glad. Thank you, Steve. See, we're still friends. All right. Who wants to take this one? This is Van Gool again, and he has two comments from YouTube.
Yeah, these are both from the Dungeons & Dragons home theater experience. Says Brightside Home Theater, remember when we had to wait a year or so for the disc? So yeah, times have definitely changed there.
Oh, yeah.
We're waiting about 60 days on average from those discs. And then second comment, with Ant-Man and Dungeons & Dragons coming to 4K, do you think they are releasing them too fast after the theater and would this hurt the quality of the disc? So far, that hasn't been the experience with Ant-Man or Dungeons & Dragons, at least with the Kaleidoscape. And I don't imagine that it would hurt. I think a lot of these discs are being pressed before the movie is even released into the...
Oh, they are.
Yeah.
The production on all these is long before even the movie is released and stuff.
Which is not new, because I mean, how many times have you listened to a director's commentary and then be like, you know, the movie hasn't even come out yet, and you know they're talking about it, and they're only doing that because they're screening the home.
They're getting ready for the disc.
They're
producing the disc, and it's, you know, it's an industry. It's not like, I mean, it's funny. It's like they know the system. They know it's their system, and it's not like the movie comes out, and they're like, oh crap.
Yeah, we got to hurry up and get this disc ready. Yeah.
where did we put the audio track?
Right.
Like, what do we run? Just get the DTS. I know they like the hurry. It's like they don't care.
It's like it's got to be done by 5.
Exactly. It's like, "Oh no, it's doing crappy in the theater. We got to get this out quick." No, they know.
It's part of every release plan that is going to come to physical media and you know, these things are being produced alongside the post-production, I imagine.
There's another factor that a lot of people don't realize, and I did look it up. Prices have come down, and I'll let you know. I meant to tag the article so I could show it here, but I read about this years ago, and there is a system over and above the Kaleidoscape that you can get first run, you know, features in your home.
Right.
So, I know John and I have talked about this a while ago because I was like, it's crazy. Yeah. So it used to be, so the price on the system has come down substantially. All right. I'd say more than 50% in the last few years. And I think the first time I heard about it might have been maybe 10 years ago. So you buy this system and then you can pay the one price to buy the movie for, and I believe you're allowed to have it for a week. A first run film. The system now, and I'll try to find the article and I'll link it in the show notes, but the system now costs $15,000. And that's, and when I first read about it, it was like $35,000 to $40,000.
See, so, that's a kaleidoscape, really. It's
yeah,
that's not. But you're paying more than that for each film, right? Isn't it like?
Take a guess what you're paying.
It was something for like your, $30,000 or $40,000 for the movie. But
no, not that much. No, each movie. Now, when I first read it, it was $30,000 to $40,000 for the box
right.
to have installed in your house, right? And then it was like $500 for the movie.
Oh, I thought it was way more than that.
No. And now it's $1,000. It's $1,000 for the movie. And you get it for like a week or whatever. And there's different versions of this going around. In the article that I read recently, it's like it's very prevalent, obviously, with the Hollywood elites. It's how they screen these movies. And these are all, now here's the thing. These are all meant to be installed in Trinov type home cinemas. They're all meant, it's all higher end. You know, they mention in the article, like these are calibrated for Barco and Christie projectors. It's all in your, you know, million dollar theater, home theaters or whatever. And it's people that are like, you know, like if you're a billionaire, and I always like look at the closest billionaire I know is like Bob Kraft, owner of the Patriots. And it's like, I'm not going to go to the theater. I'll just have everybody over and they'll have giant theater in his mansion and throw that on. What's $1,000 to him? Right. This entire system is a less percentage than my system to me, right? Percentage wise, like he's worth billions. I'm broke because of my theater, No. So, but yeah, so the idea that like they're hurrying these things for us, they're already out there. They already have them. There are, you know, and we're actually getting the dumber down version probably than that system. So,
right.
Yeah, never fear on that. So,
yeah. Well, there's no question that John, you're right. They are post-production is another step in finishing the film. I mean, yeah. And of course these days, because they're all digital intermediates anyway, most movies shot on digital are then it's almost just, I suspect. So, but there is a button.
Right.
Render to disc.
Yeah. I mean, you say, you know, dumbed down versions, Deej. I mean, you know, if it's lossless, is lossless, isn't it? So, right. You know, I mean, you should be getting, you might have a tweaked Atmos mix.
I don't know about that.
And I'm close to the studio master.
I don't know if that made the air, but VJ and I talked off air for a while and we were talking about lossless and stuff. And lossless isn't necessarily lossless. Lossless is the highest quality that we put out on digital, but that would just mean it's like, okay, here is everything that we're capable of recording right now, all the frequencies, and these are all the bits, and it takes this much information, but we're like getting lossless on disc, but then you see, now is that now lossless if Kaleidoscape's getting a disc with more information? You see what I'm saying? Like the mezzanine file, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, I don't know what true lossless is because it's kind of impossible because infinity is pretty high. We could actually put more information on there. And especially in this world where we don't even care if we can see it or hear it, we just want to know it's there. And they could be literally telling us, well, we're going to give you the frequency range from, you know, 0 hertz all the way to, you know, past the human hearing. All right, I know it's there. That would be lossless. So I don't know.
But I think what they mean is in comparison to the studio master. So this is the same as the master. That's what I took it to mean.
It isn't.
Sure, but yeah,
because like we said, and I only know it through the Kaleidoscape, through the mezzanine files, where you'll see it's like you get a file that doesn't need to be smaller because of the limitations of a disc, right? So they you're getting, again, like we did with Endgame's like 105 gigabytes, but they put it onto a 66 gigabyte disc, and that's all lossless. Something's got, and they both are, but what they're saying is it's like, you know, for that format, that's lossless, I guess.
Yeah,
you know, so yeah, you know, rudimentary terms for me, but yeah. So we'll wrap up on that comment there. Next week, I happen to have the image handy. I had John Wick 4 came out today on Kaleidoscape. So was there this morning and at you know, clocking in at 2 hours and 50 minutes, did not have time to watch it today.
Yeah.
So we'll be talking about that one next week as well.
June, it's out here.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Mm. Oh, it won't be out there until June?
14th of June, something like that. It comes out here. Yeah, another couple of weeks.
And we well, also...
It's not out on physical here either. This is just the digital.
Didn't it come out today in physical as well?
Uh-uh. Mm-hmm. No.
Okay.
No,
all right. Okay.
Nope. Just coming out digitally here.
Yeah.
Okay, so it might be the same time that.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. We won't have it for a few weeks either.
Looking forward physically. To yeah. But next week we will be talking about Raging Fire. Yep.
I cannot wait to hear what you guys think of this.
I could tell you when we're done. No.
Yes, oh, dude. I need to know.
No. Yeah. We'll talk about it next week.
Don't forget, you haven't got the things. Yes, you. No, you might have loaded up the images I've sent you for the my other one of next week.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I didn't load those up. Those are in a different folder. I just happen to have these because we almost were going to do that this week.
Well, just in case, because I've already seen them, so I know I'm going to be talking about them.
You can talk about them, yeah.
So Brotherhood of the Wolf, which I have now seen.
Yeah.
Really looking forward to our discussion on that, John.
Yeah.
That's going to be great. And then also, I have watched last night, and finished off earlier this evening, The Punisher Warzone, just to mark the passing of the very sad passing of Ray Stevenson.
Yeah.
And so, and I must admit, I have been blown away by that disc. If you'll forgive the expression, bearing in mind what it is all about.
Right.
I was very, very,
yeah,
blown away by that disc.
So that's another
interesting discussion.
Yeah, and it, I mean, it'll probably piggyback on like what we were saying, taking some of these older movies and our systems being upgraded since the last time we've seen them, and you're like, what the hell? Why is that movie look so good?
I remember it not looking that great, and yet rewatching it, again, like you said earlier, occasionally looking at this thinking, how much better could a 4K disc of this be?
Right.
Because the image, the detail levels are ridiculous. So, yeah, I mean, we'll have to see. Yeah. We'll have to see. But looking forward to talking about that next week.
Yeah. Peek behind the... I think Raging Fire is like that, too. But, yeah, we'll talk next week.
I know the answer to that question.
Yeah, because he has it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... it'll be a fun debate. Even a debate, but a fun conversation. You're right.
Yeah, can't wait.
And what else do we got coming up next week? We have a few others I thought that you knew of.
We've got those two for sure. So I've got Brotherhood of the Wolf, Punisher Warzone, Raging Fire. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I've got at the moment.
Oh, and I also moved Guardians. I had that one, but Guardians 2.
Of course.
Guardians of the Galaxy 2. So
I still haven't seen 3. I've got some time off next couple of days. I'm hoping to go and see it then.
Yeah. So all right. That will do it for this week. Been another great week, another cooking through the show. And 2 hours, 12 minutes this week, went a little bit over and we started late. Sorry about that, Steve, but you've got the energy. You're still going.
Yeah, I'm all good. And I've got the day off to tomorrow. So
there you go. Oh man, we're going to be inundated with movies. More graphics. So, all right. Let's see. Yeah. We didn't even do tweaks of the week this week, but we didn't really have any, right?
No.
Nothing of. All right. That'll do it for this week. Everybody have a great week. I will be back on Tuesday. Me and John Brock. You're not going to want to miss this one. I'm telling you, this one was an antipasto of a podcast. Let's just put it that way. I'm just trying to hit the chef and John. He's been, he's been making me hungry on Sundays. With his tweets. I don't know. Yeah. Adriano's rubbing off on him.
Yeah.
He's
not literally, I hope. He's late. It's
okay. Yeah, exactly.
I had to duck to the left, but.
Yeah.
So many things. Don't do it. I'm not going to say.
Oh, boy. On that note. Oh, caca.
Go push play.
What he said.
with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.